Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, good morning, folks. We are out here at the People's Health Medicare Center for Medicare Enrollment Day. It starts today, October 15th, and it extends through December 7th. And you want to get on out here? We have coffee and donuts from Joe's Cafe and Donuts. And thanks to Joe's Cafe. It's a great day at Joe's. Hot breakfast, fresh donuts, and home cooking made daily. Stop by or visit joeknowsfood.com. And let me tell you about the folks out here. They always have a smile on their face. They love what they do. They have a great time. And more importantly, if you have any questions about Medicare, all right, and it's a very complex topic, they will walk you through it. I know, because I did it. And they bring a comfort level to you that you are going to appreciate right away. And there's a lot of uncertainty. You want to make sure that you make the right decision, right, for your medical care and how that works. What I love about what they do is they give you advice as to what your best course of action may be. And I've seen it. I've referred friends here, family over here. And without exception, each and every one of them told me it was an incredibly pleasant experience. They got exactly what they needed. They felt good. About the responses to the questions that they had. They did not leave here more confused than when they came in, which is an experience that you have a lot of times when you're seeking advice, right? But not here at People's Health. They want to make sure that you get what you need in order to make a learned decision for you. What's in your best interest? So come on out and give us a shout, say hello, and partake of some of the food from Joe's Cafe, which you will truly enjoy. We always enjoy it when we come out to the People's Health Center. This is what we have lined up for you today. And the back half of the 12 o'clock hour, we'll visit with the Senior Vice President of Convention Sales and Strategies at the New Orleans & Company, Stephanie Turner. And we'll talk about upcoming conventions, major meetings. We'll get the latest as to where we stand. This is all very important. It's even more important when we think about the budget hearings that are going on right now at the New Orleans City Council. They started this morning at 9:30 a.m. In the beginning of the 12 o'clock hour, Nick Carl, who's the Vice President for People's Health, Medicare Advantage, and the annual enrollment period, we'll talk about the particulars of that when we join Nick Carl. The GNO Inc. hour, in the 11 o'clock hour, Michael Heck, President and CEO of GNO Inc., we have a lot of things to talk about. And in the second half, we have a special guest, Mike Katz, who's the Senior Managing Director of Benson Capital Partners. And we're going to talk about some seed money that they have been putting out, transforming how cities serve residents, for example, with a initial seed round in civilized AI. And we'll hear more about what that is about. Billy Nungesser, the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Louisiana, will join us at 10:30. We'll talk about the election of Helena Moreno. We'll talk about aerospace and a committee that the lieutenant governor sits on. The Louisiana Book Festival is going to occur on November 1st. That's coming up. And New York City Taste of Louisiana Culinary Trails trip, where we expose what we do, our culture, our food, to folks around the country with that. Billy Nungesser, always staying incredibly busy, so we'll speak with him at 10:30. Wanted to talk about what's going on right now for the couple of days here, two or three days, with the New Orleans budget hearings. So at the end of Tommy's segment, you heard him speaking about the budget with Clancy Dubose. My observations are simply this. This is a very difficult process, one where we hope and we need, and we absolutely need, the council, the administration to come together. We need to be successful. We hear this all the time, and maybe it's an overused term. It's a defining moment. It is for this city. It really is right now, because we've yet to be able to determine what the deficit actually is. Now we're hearing that it's probably closer to $200 million as opposed to $100 million. Who knows? There's no sense in engaging in conjecture at this point in time. It is what it is. And for the time being, it ain't going to change. And so that's the sad reality that we find ourselves in. So there's two ways to work our way out of this deficit. One is to increase revenue. That could be enhanced collections on taxes that already exist. What we know at the present time is that we don't run that many audits, sales tax audits, in the city of New Orleans. It's an honor system. Businesses collect sales taxes as a fiduciary on behalf of the city of New Orleans from business operators across the city. 26 audits last year. In Jefferson Parish, to give you an example, typically in a year, 300 audits. Because it's the honor system, you want to make sure that people maybe intentionally are not doing the right thing, and a lot of folks, more often than not, unintentionally, because they're not exactly clear of what the law says, how transactions are to be characterized, whether or not those are sales taxable transactions. I know, most point of sale transactions are, but there are some confusing elements and ingredients of sales tax. And then the other is property taxes. Making sure that we have properties appropriately assessed, making sure that the revenue department is able to collect those taxes in a timely manner as well. So what do we know? Well, what we know about property taxes right now, and it's something that really needs to be, I think, adequately discussed, and folks need to get some answers to, is that when we look at appeals of assessments on property, the number one producing parish of appeals in the state of Louisiana is Orleans Parish. And in fact, the vast majority of the docket of the Louisiana Tax Commission are appeals from the city of New Orleans as it relates to the assessments that are placed on properties within the city. Why that is, I don't know. I don't have the answer to that question. What I also know is the vast majority of those appeals are won by the appellant, the taxpayer. So we really need to dig deep into, why is that? What is going on? Why is that occurring? What is the cost of the city, if any, right? What we do know is that the budget of the assessor is a percentage off the top of the tax roll filed. I don't know whether or not that budget is actually modified when the tax roll has actually been reduced as it relates to the appeals that are successfully had by taxpayers. If not, it ought to be, quite frankly, because that would be a modified tax roll, and the assessor should not be the beneficiary of that increased number when, in fact, it doesn't stand legally. I don't know whether or not that's done or not, but it's something that ought to be looked at. And then obviously there's the third consideration, which is additional taxes. And sometimes folks really believe that's the easy out. And if you can pass it, it certainly is. But if you can't, what it means is that you have to figure out where you're going to cut and how you cut. If you look at like city of Chicago right now that has over a $1 billion shortfall, $1.15 billion shortfall. Interestingly, as messed up as Chicago is, they've been able to determine what their deficit actually is. Now, what they can't figure out is how they're going to cover that shortfall. And obviously, the mayor there, Brandon Johnson, is thinking about, you heard it, the nasty word, begins with a T, taxes. And they are thinking about these exotic taxes, like a tax on the number of employees that each business has. Think about that for a second. You're sitting there trying to create economic development, trying to get more businesses to move to your respected municipalities, political subdivision, whatever it may be, the city of New Orleans. And at the same time, you say, yeah, but when you create all these jobs and you hire people, you're going to pay a tax on how many people you actually hire. That is so counter to the way that this ought to work. You're punishing the success of companies that are creating the tax base for you in the first right, and you're trying to take more. Because there's a belief with some folks that you should not be able to enjoy the largesse of your success. That if you're too successful, you're obnoxious. If you make too much money, you're obnoxious. So we need to create balance, right, for you. We need to take more of your money because you're just too successful in our eyes. It's interesting how some folks view the world. And it's what's really interesting is that they're going to learn that these companies are fairly nimble and they don't need to be in Chicago. They could be somewhere else. And maybe that city is New Orleans. And maybe that's who we ought to be going after, right? And getting more of these businesses to leave Chicago and not have to face the craziness that's going on there. Maybe if we can get our act together here, and I suspect that and hope that we will, I pray that we do each and every day, that we can lure companies that are being browbeat every day in these cities across the country where they're too successful in their eyes. They make too much money. They're distributing too much money to their shareholders. They need to share that largesse with folks that have done nothing in the most part to contribute to the success of these companies, and they want it. So the other is, is taxes. I don't know that there's going to be an appetite in this city right now, and I don't know that there's going to be an appetite in this city in the coming years for that. And so there's some difficult decisions that are going to have to be made. And I think former Mayor Mark Morey, I was reading an article in NOLA.com yesterday, is right. Everybody needs to get behind this mayor. Everyone needs to get behind this new council. Obviously, there needs to be a spirit of congeniality and civility because cutback management is the most difficult type of management there is. There's nothing harder. Right. You run for public office. A lot of folks do. I think almost everyone. They really want to help people. It's a slap in the face and a sad reality, though, when you understand that unless you're fiscally prudent, unless you have somewhat of a conservative approach to how you manage dollars within the city budget, and you just can't willy-nilly help everybody at whatever cost, because what happens is almost a situation that we're going to find ourselves in. If we have a $200 million deficit, we're not going to be able to help many at all, because the basic city services are going to end up consuming the lion's share of the budget. And then you're not able to help that many folks, period. You're going to have to cut those programs. You can't save those programs and take it on the short end for basic city services. I don't think the public is willing to do that. You're going to be able to BS your way through that process. They recognize and understand the shortcomings of the delivery of these services. They know now better than they've ever known. And what happened during Katrina and the pandemic is folks went and experienced something else, especially Katrina, and they saw what happens in other areas of the country and how they manage themselves. And they got a taste of something different. And they brought back a different expectation level. And I think it's been frustrating city government for a long time. You know, they got a pass because we were down and out in Beverly Hills, right? We were flooded in the city. The city had damages and the type of damages and the extent of damages that no other area experienced. Even though we had 33,000 homes flood in Jefferson Parish, it wasn't to the extent of the city. And we were able to recover in a much quicker way than the city, and for a whole host of reasons. So you got a little bit of a pass of a number of years, but not any longer. Those days are gone. And we still have a lot of dollars that we've yet to spend from that period of time. And the only reason I go through this exercise is for the following reason. The only way that we're going to be able to achieve success is to be patient, to gain a better understanding of what is out there. As the mayor-elect said, to manage expectations. A lot of folks are going to want a lot of things to happen real quick. They can't. We have to be deliberate, in my view, as to how we approach these finances. We cannot live on a shoestring budget. We cannot live on a razor's edge in the budget. We need to make sure that we've got the necessary working capital to pay our bills and not have to short circuit some of the activities in order to pay our bills and try to catch up 2 months later. That doesn't work. It's never worked. Once you get behind that eight ball, you are stuck. And you never come out from under it. It is a mindset. It is a culture that 'll permeate your organization. It is a cancer. A huge cancer. And that has to change. And the fact of the matter is that when you have a $1.6 billion budget and a roughly $700 to $800 million operating budget, and the rest is grants and other types of programs of dollars coming in from third parties, that most often than not, you are reimbursed. You got to have cash to spend in order to get reimbursed. And I suspect that there's been years that we've held up projects because we didn't have the money to put out on the front end. Remember what I've said many, many times. It's easy to get the money. You have to be in a position and have the ability to receive it, which means that you have to have the necessary cash within your operating budget to front the money in order to get reimbursed. And if you don't have it, you can't get to where you need to get. And that's why these projects have wallowed over the years, because we have not judiciously evaluated how we're going to go about doing that. Grants are great. You can't live off of grants, though, because it has a cost. You're fronting the money. It'd be interesting to find out what is the totality of the impact in the dollars that are expended on a cash basis in order to get reimbursed in the city of New Orleans when half of your budget is a grant. That's a lot of cash. They're cash poor. They don't have it on a recurring basis. So the mindset, grants are good, yeah, it is if it's a program that you otherwise intended to fund and you're able to get grants to do it, because you would assume that the evaluation has been done that on an operating basis you can afford to do it. Then it's a big, big win. It's like hitting the lottery if you can get a grant to do it for you, set it up, and you intend to carry it out for the number of years after the grant expires. But I'll make the following observation as well. Granting federal grants, this landscape under the Trump administration is different. It's not going to be as easy. There are going to be more strings. There's always been strings, but they're going to be strings presented in a different way. One thing I know for sure is we're not going to grant our way out of this predicament. It's not going to happen. Not now, not ever. So we need to put all of that in its proper perspective and gain a better understanding as to what the impact is to us financially month after month after month in the management of all of these grants and what that impact is on our operating expenses month by month. We should have known that we were headed into this dangerous, dangerous position that we find ourselves in. If it's $200 million, that's incredibly dangerous. Very dangerous. And it's going to be interesting to see how we come out. And I wish and I pray and I hope that this council and this administration are able to put their collective heads together, figure this out, because it needs to be sooner rather than later. There is exigency in riding this ship. And it's going to be painful, but we can't fear the pain. And we cannot fear the difficult decisions that need to be made in order to get us to where we need to be, because our life, economic life, really depends on it. We'll be right back with the Lieutenant Governor. Stay with us. This is Newell on WWL, broadcasting live from the People's Health Medicare Center at 3017 Veterans Boulevard near Causeway. Come on by, say hello. Got a lot of smiling faces here ready to serve you. Folks have been coming in, and they're actually having a good time. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
why
it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right, folks. Come on out, say hello, and they've got a lot of stuff here. And Joe's Cafe, we've got some food out here. You want to come and enjoy that. They also have some free passes to Oktoberfest, as well as the World War II Museum. So ask about these passes when you come on out to the People's Health Medicare Center, right here at 3017 Veterans Memorial Boulevard. Joining us now is the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser. Billy, welcome to the show.
Good to be with you, Newell.
I know you've been running around, but first let's talk politics. We just had the election. A lot of races were resolved in the first primary. Most important race, the mayor of the city of New Orleans. Your thoughts about the election of Helena Moreno?
Well, I think everybody has high hopes for her to get in there and really tackle all the major problems in the city. And I surely will work with her in every way I can. I think it's couldn't happen any sooner. So I'm glad it was over in the first primary so she can put her plan together and really start to hit the ground running when she takes office, because everybody knows it's sorely needed some leadership in the city at this point.
Billy, you tried to help the Cantrell administration many, many times on any number of initiatives, and it did not go very well. Are you more optimistic with the Moreno administration?
I really am, you know, and I think, you know, I had discussions with her and Councilman King about the management of the French Quarter, to put it under the French Quarter Development District or some kind of entity where we could give the governor, maybe the lieutenant governor, a couple of seats on that board. And we talked about, like they did in San Diego with the gas lamp district and some of the other downtown areas, because there's a lot of problems in the city. And if you can have that entity focus on cleaning up, making the French Quarter safe, making sure everything is running smoothly, we can bring it back to life and get some of the live music, some of the things that made the quarter what it is, and in my opinion, saved the quarter, because it's been on a downtrend for many years. The state police has really made a difference in there, but it deserves some people that live and work there having hands-on, everyday experience of making that area the best it can be. And I hope she and the council will embrace doing that, because there's just not enough voters there to ever make the council and the mayor put all the attention needed. Turning that over to people, businesses, and residents that work and live there, I think would really make a difference. And, you know, in light of the budget problems they're having, why are we paying $26,000 a week to rent those balusters on those barricades on Bourbon Street? You know, the ones they took out at Jackson Square, all they needed to do was fix them and put those decorative back. Instead, they got those big, bulky things that people are tripping over, their eyesore, and we're paying $26,000 or $28,000 a week to rent them? No wonder we got a budget problem in New Orleans. Has anybody thought to just go back and put the ones that were there that they didn't fix the first time back in place, rather than, is that another friend's contract that, you know, just like we gave money to the guy that supposedly taken over and improving Six Flags, we gave him $6 million to demo. You know, that's what we got a budget problem. We're giving money away when we should be using it for better causes.
Yeah, I mean, we're giving money away that we don't even necessarily have in the first right, and it's really a dangerous situation. Can you imagine running a lieutenant governor's office if you don't know if you're running a deficit from month to month?
It's really unthinkable that somebody would go before the council and say, hey, we saw $200 million. I mean, where does the monthly accountability go in over the years? You don't dig a hole that deep overnight. And, when you look at the money wasted in this city and there's so many needs, it's a matter we made it through this administration.
Yeah, in fact, I was talking about, you know, the management of grants and stuff like that. It's good to get grants, but it comes at a cost. I just got a text here. Newell, you're 100% correct about how the city handled grants. I am a former high-level city employee in the revolver and management of the funding of revolving, I think, was mismanaged from the day that Mayor Cantrell took office. And now we're paying the price, right? In fact, this may be the worst deficit handover from administration to administration, according to Clancy Dubose, that he can remember ever in the history of the city of New Orleans.
Yeah. And just look at who got some of the contracts and where this money has gone. And it stinks.
Yeah. Let's pivot real quick. I know that you're headed to Utah next week for the first committee meeting of that aerospace initiative that you and a number of other lieutenant governors, I think, are sitting on. Tell us about it.
Yeah, this is a great opportunity. You know, I brought that group to New Orleans a couple of years ago when I took over for the Colorado Lieutenant Governor to head up that aerospace committee. And now we've put it under the Lieutenant Governors Association. So we've got a little bit more teeth in it to help with policies and things that we can recommend to help move the aerospace industry forward. And we got a great opportunity with NASA and with Stennis right there to really grow not only the private aerospace industry, but also all the support activities. Bollinger is now doing some things in aerospace. And we're actually including the VOTEC schools, because we've got to do more VOTEC training to make the workforce readily available. If you look at Alabama, they teach kids how to weld on spaceships in high school there. They've got 400 private companies in the aerospace industry in Alabama. You look at Austin and Colorado. And so we've got a real opportunity if we can get focused on training the workforce in these community colleges and really look at the opportunities to expand the space industry, which is going to be exploding over the next several years. We could really take advantage of that here in Louisiana.
You know, there is hope, though, because I think some of the most recent studies have revealed that enrollment at community colleges, not only in the state of Louisiana, but across the country, are on a significant increase.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, Dr. Tina Tinsley at the Chancellor at Nunez Community College, who has been a leader in the aerospace workforce training for NASA there in St. Bernard. I put her on this committee to bring her expertise, but also to share with the other community colleges here in Louisiana. And we've included some people from the economic development team under the governor, under Susan Bourgeois's office, on this, so we can learn what the other lieutenant governors and their states have done and bring some of those initiatives here to expand the workforce and the opportunity for us to bring companies to Louisiana to support the aerospace industry.
It sounds like a very promising initiative for sure, and one that obviously this administration is 100% behind, right? Talking about the Trump administration with the development of the aerospace industry moving forward.
Yeah, you know, Newell, when he started that new division, it kind of sat dormant under the Biden administration. Now that Trump's back in office, we suspect you're going to see all these initiatives really move forward quickly. In our lifetime, you're going to take for tourism, there's going to be space tourism. And then when you want to go somewhere out of the country, you're going to go anywhere in the world in 2 hours. You're going to go to space, take off from a spaceport, which every state will have a spaceport, and you'll go to space, go over and come down. So you'll be able to go anywhere in the world in 2 hours. And then there's also the medicine of taking your tissue and going to space and making you a heart and come back. You won't reject it. So it'll be made with your tissue. All these things have been advanced incredibly. There just needs to be the process of permitting these things and approval to really see the venture capital money invested. Right now, you've just got billionaires in the space industry. But once all these things are in place, you're going to see that industry really explode.
It sounds incredibly exciting. Let's pivot real quick. Upcoming New York City Taste of Louisiana Trails trip on October 28th. It's something that it's been important to us, and we've been very successful with these initiatives, right?
Yeah, you know, this has been the year of food. We're going to be at the James Beard House dinner there with our partners from all over the states. John Foltz will be there. So we're going to really get on the national stage, highlighting all the great food and the history and the culture of it here in Louisiana. And this is really going to be topped off with our Rose Parade this float this year. And then next year, we're going to be promoting the Year of Outdoors. So we're going to finish up this year with making a large pot of gumbo. The theme this year for the Rose Parade is teamwork. And so our teamwork is going to be a great pot of gumbo. It takes a great team from the seafood, the crawfish, and the crops that are grown here in Louisiana, the rice. Mike Strain will be riding on the float. He'll be out there with us giving interviews all over the world about the great farming that comes out of Louisiana and all the great ingredients that go into a pot of gumbo here in Louisiana and the great team it takes to put that together. And what a great way to cap off a great year of food for Louisiana, the James Beard House in New York, and then the Rose Parade on New Year's Day. It's just a great way to highlight all the great foods of Louisiana.
Billy, I don't know about you, but what a wealth of information about farming that Mike Strain has. I mean, he's like a walking encyclopedia.
I tell people we're so lucky to have such a passionate ambassador. We've been partnering on ag tourism. When we saw that we were not under the health department for years, we were not enforcing the inspection of seafood. We partnered on the Seafood Promotion Board in my office and Mike Strain. Now we're going out catching these people mislabeling seafood, calling Boudreaux's crawfish tails when they're really from Taiwan. So he's been doing the inspection and the testing, and people are actually getting fined now for mislabeling seafood. And those are things that never got done in the past. So his passion for really doing a great job, I'm excited about him being out there representing all the farming community across Louisiana and highlighting those farmers at the Rose Parade this year.
Do you have a few more minutes for us? We've got to get to a break. I'd like to come back to you with final thoughts. All right.
Absolutely.
We're visiting with the Lieutenant Governor, Billy Nungesser. We're here at People's Health Medicare Center at 3017 Veterans Highway. We will be right back, folks. Stay with us.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back, folks. We are broadcasting live on the beginning of Medicare enrollment that runs from October 15th through December 7th right here at the People's Health Medicare Center on Vets near Causeway. And we're visiting with the Lieutenant Governor of the state of Louisiana, Billy Nungesser. Billy, let's finish up with the Louisiana Book Festivals on November 1st. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's become one of the top 10 book fests in the country. All the writers from all over Louisiana, from kids' books to politics to everything. It's at the state capitol grounds. There's all kind of activities for the whole family. It's a great chance to visit with those writers that written all those books all about Louisiana. And then also, this weekend's a great weekend to get out to our fairs and festivals. Oktoberfest, Rougarou, the Washington Free Fair. I'll be riding the Rice Parade at the Rice Fest over in Crawley. So we encourage everybody to get out and visit the over 400 fairs and festivals we have in Louisiana. Those teams work year-round to put on those great festivals, and every one of them is a little unique.
I don't think there's an elected official that's been in more parades than Billy Nungesser, the lieutenant.
Well, I keep saying I'm going to go to every fair and festival before I die, Newell. And every year they keep adding new festivals, you know, king cake, fried chicken. What are they going to think of next? You know, if you can eat it, drink it, shoot it, dance to it, we name a festival after it.
That's what makes this place so special, right?
It really does. I tell you, other states are envious that we have so much to offer people, and we take it for granted sometimes that any weekend you can go to a dozen different festivals all over the state and experience the music, the culture, the food. We're a little spoiled by having so much to do all the time.
And most of these things are free. I mean, that's really the beauty of it, right?
It really is. You can go listen to the music. You can take part in all the crafts. The food is really inexpensive, and it's unique in each area of the state. So it's really something that we should get out and travel the state and see some of the fairs and festivals, because they're all quite different and unique to the area.
No doubt. Well, as always, Billy, thank you so much for joining us. We truly appreciate your time and your insight. We know you're busy, and thank you for sharing all that what's going on in the state of Louisiana. Billy Nungesa, the Lieutenant Governor of the great state of Louisiana. Have a great weekend.
You too, my friend.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back. 504-260-1870 on the Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Today starts Medicare enrollment period from October 15th through December 7th, and we are here at the People's Health Medicare Center on Vets near Causeway at 3017 Veterans Highway. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Folks, come on out if you're near 65, made 65, or just few months past 65. It's the enrollment period out here at People's Health, 3017 Veterans Memorial Boulevard. Come on out, say hello. Got a lot of folks here smiling, ready to assist you. When we return, we'll visit with Michael Heck, President and CEO of G&O Inc., and Mike Katz, Senior Managing Director of Benson Capital Partners. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, everyone, I'm Josh Radner, and I am so excited to tell you about How We Made Your Mother, a rewatch podcast looking back at How I Met Your Mother. And I'm here with Craig Thomas, who co-created the show along with Carter Bays. Hi, Craig.
Hey, Josh. Somehow it has been 20 years since the show premiered. That seemed, I'm going to check the math on that. 10 years since it went off the air, and we thought that made this a perfect time to look back, see what the hell we did, and why the show still seems to resonate with fans around the world today.
Follow and listen to How We Made Your Mother wherever you get your podcasts.